A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to In The Pocket. My name's Johnny.
And my name's Chris.
Two totally average bass players, and we're here to talk all about that bass. As well as answering your questions at home, each week we take a look at the latest news, maybe break down some tones, or to give you the lowdown on the low end. Now, for this week's guest, I'm going to bring out Chris's notes, actually, that he's written down. He says he's a brilliant bass player, a Metallica mad, and a passionate lover. Fantastic.
All correct.
Of course. Of course, it is the very handsome bass player for As Everything Unfolds. It's George Hunt, everyone.
Yay.
Hello, gents.
Hello. Hello, hello. How are we doing, sir?
Very well, thank you. Very well. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Yes, I'm good, thanks. I've got my hot chocolate again, like last week's episode.
Oh, 2 weeks in a row. Very nice.
Oh, that's a good evening drink, though.
I know.
Good evening drink.
I know. Big got a hot cup of Joe and
I'm drinking
my
something
rabbit mug.
Slightly different.
Yeah, there's a strong combination there. Yeah. But, you know, the flavour profiles could be further away, to be fair.
What, a Guinness and a hot chocolate?
Yeah, I think you could combine them both, to be honest. There's definitely.
I am not willing to try that, but fair enough.
There are some awful flavoured stouts out there, and that is one of them.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking like chocolate stouts is where my head was going.
Chocolate, orange, nuclear, double, triple stout. It's like 14%. Oh, no. I can't do those anymore.
Jeez. No, not for me. Well, George, like I said before, as everything unfolds, you know, huge band. You guys are doing so well. For those that don't know, Chris in his band with Dala went on tour with As Everything Unfolds late last year. And yeah, you guys, I mean, both flipping smashed it at the gig that I came to in Bristol. It was an amazing time. And yeah, just I'd say, oh, big things coming soon for the band. But you know, big things have already come, I suppose. Take
big
that out of context if you want.
To come.
Big things have done a come. God, it's not. What are we like? We're like 3 minutes in, and it's already descended to madness.
It took too long.
I never hear that one. Right, but let me get my structure back. I've gone too deep now. Oh God, stop.
That's what she said.
Okay. Stop it. Stop, everyone. Right, we're going to start the whole again. Whole podcast again.
Whoa!
Hello and welcome to... No, we're not. Right, we are going to be talking about arguably your band's biggest moment so far, playing the almighty Wembley Arena. This is like every musician's dream in the UK. And like, yeah, when you got the okay for that gig, I bet you were flipping vibrating with excitement to play that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you could comfortably say it's the biggest moment so far. Could be the biggest moment ever, to be honest. I don't know.
Don't say that.
But yeah, no, absolutely unbelievable. It's one of those classic things wherever you get sort of news like that, it doesn't sink in at all. And I don't know how well you know Jay, Johnny, but Chris, I know you know Jay pretty well. He has a way of delivering news to you in just the most casual, most... not excitement inducing ways. It was very much just like, yeah, so you guys fancy Wembley?
This is like, so true.
Yeah, yes, obviously. who with? When?
No, yes.
Sort of. Yeah, you fancy it. You're
opening for the Wiggles. Yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah, I know he finds it funny, but no, that was, I mean, we've been very fortunate to do lots of unbelievable things where, you don't really realize at the moment how cool it is that you're being asked to do that. And then it happens and it's everything you want it to be. So yeah, pretty incredible stuff.
living the dream, man. And we're going to dive much deeper into your Wembley experience later on in the episode. Today, we're also going to be talking a little bit about favorite tour stories, the bands we'd like to support maybe in the future. But first, to get to know you a little bit more, George, we're going to ask you three quickfire questions so people can understand why you're here today. So my first question for you is, what is your number one bass?
My number one bass is... it's going to be Rickenbacker 4003 or 4003 or 4003. I've only ever seen it written down. I've never heard someone say it before. but yeah, that's going to be the one. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh man. Why is it the Rick?
It's just so rock and roll, isn't it? And I like how everything's just loud and it's just so naturally overdriven and you don't really have to worry about the tones. You just put it all up and it just sounds as best as it's ever going to sound. And Lemmy's pretty cool, isn't he?
Like, and that little thing that brought it to everyone's attention.
That is the cherry on the top of the bake.
I completely forgot you've got Rickenbacker. Like a genuine.
I own one. I'm very fortunate.
I was going to say, that's a surprise to me because obviously I only know you from seeing you play live, and I've seen as everything unfolds twice now, and I've seen the basses that you've used, and I was thinking, oh my god, I've not seen that on stage.
I'm very much a Fender man in the day-to-day.
You could absolutely gig your set with a Rick. You have to. Oh, it's so good.
I think it's going to happen.
You've got to do it.
In the near future, hopefully. I think I'm scared of taking her outside.
Yeah, I mean, I would be. I would be too. But we bumped into the guys from the Vintage bass room and they were like, man, they've got to be gigged, man. Yes, gig the basses. So, and I like that philosophy, you know, get them.
I agree with it completely, which is why it's silly that I haven't, because I mean, every dent in it's a story, right?
So
I mean the state of my five string is horrific. It looks like I've thrown it around a car park.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That makes me like it more, so that yeah, that outlook is definitely the correct one. I'm just being a wimp.
You're like, I've got enough dents, enough memories on the rig now. Yeah. Well, how would you, I mean, it sounds like from, you know, going mad on stage that this might come into one of your three words, but how would you describe your bass playing in three words?
Oh, yeah, I would go with energetic, fun, manic, probably. No words I consider like good, but like wow, entertaining and fun. That's sort of where I'm at, I think, with things. Yeah, they're probably the three I'll go with.
Yeah, yeah. Because like, how do you within the band? You know, because there's quite a lot of you on stage.
We've got a lot going on, lots of people. Yeah.
And so, do you take it amongst yourself? You're like, I'm the fun one. I just got to have the best time.
I couldn't even compete with John Cass though on that front.
Yeah, John is a force of nature, but I think you hold your own.
He's got the fun down. You tend to have fun with each other. I think I do end up having the role of getting out of the way. I think as someone who can move and is the bass player, I sort of naturally fall into a role of, I'm going to step back here and let you guys do your thing.
Modest is one of the words. Yeah. The fourth word.
No one wants to see the bass player standing right at the front on his knees doing a knee slide. You know, like.
Oh,
no.
I remember when I saw Def Havana a couple of years ago. I've seen them a couple of times, but there was one. I think it was at Slam Dunk in Birmingham when they had the Midlands one, and they were like, the guitar player was running across the stage. This is on main stage, and like knee sliding and doing. As he went into his guitar parts, I saw him do it four times during the set.
Wow, four times!
I'm not joking. So highly.
I can't. Like,
that
I,
is
I
so
can't,
cool.
I can't see a knee slide ever now without thinking: one, if you landed into like a high friction environment, it's going to be really funny. And I can't unsee like that bit in the in-betweeners where Will's trying to convince that girl to like take her shoes off and skid on the floor of that holiday park, like. Now, because of that image, I can't, like, anyone who's a power slide, I'm thinking,
so you're...
Will, in the in-betweeners.
So we're trying to make it less cool, I see.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not a knee slider. I'm not a knee slider, personally. When I'm on my knees, it's a static activity.
Well, I don't know about that. Not sure about that. And our third question.
Third question. Is, thank you so much.
When you're on your knees, no. is, George, why did you pick up the bass?
I think it's sort of two reasons that sort of coincided at the same time. So when I was like 12, 13, I mean, I tried to play guitar when I was a kid, but it was classical and I hated it. So that made me hate music for like 5 years. And then I got, for Christmas, I think it would have been, I got Guitar Hero World Tour. And that was just the coolest thing ever. And I was like, at that point, I was like, okay, well, I can do this. Guitar and bass must be exactly the same, right? What's the difference, you know? And so I was like, right, I want to be in a band. I don't ever want to put the effort into being good at anything, but I want to be in it, you know? And then I was friends with a couple of guys at school and they were starting a band. So I was like, oh, you're the coolest people ever. I want to also be in this band. What don't you have?
Ah, yeah.
and they said, we don't have a bass player. I was like, I that's the easiest one, right? I can do that. And the drummer had a bass and he lent it to me and the guitarist taught me how to play. And that was, yeah, that was pre-AEU. But yeah, so I just basically followed what he was doing and he sort of taught me how to play. And we went from there and just played loads of terrible covers of rubbish indie songs from 2009, I think, mainly. But it was good fun.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's a familiar tale. Yeah. What can I do? I want to be cool.
I want to be involved.
Exactly. Yeah. It all stems with some sort of arrogant, self-obsessed, wanting to be cooler angle, doesn't it? You know,
the cool guys who are late to the game.
Yeah.
Bass players.
Please like me more.
Please.
Think I'm interesting.
I need that on a t-shirt, I think, to wear live. That's,
yeah. Please find
that's all that's going through my head. Honest. Fantastic. Thank you so much. We're going to crack on with some questions for the main bulk of the podcast now. If you guys at home want to ask questions on this very podcast, you can do so by heading over to Instagram. I was going to say /. No one's using the
/.
URL.
Wow.
www.instagram.com/. It's at In The Pocket Pod, okay, on Instagram. That's where you can bloody check us out and send us some questions. We put up a post on there. You comment them down below. We say them on the podcast. It's very simple. I would also recommend going to subscribe to us on YouTube because, ta-da, you can see our beautiful faces. Everyone do some gesture that the audio listeners would miss out on. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Just hit the mic.
And so, yeah, go and subscribe to us on YouTube where you can see our wonderful faces as we record this. It's definitely the best way to consume it, weirdly, but that's how I like it. Right, shall we crack on with those questions? Chris, do you have them in front of you?
I certainly do. On a rare occurrence, I actually have the questions in front of me. Also, I've just realised my T-shirt matches your XLR cable, Johnny, and that brings me great joy.
I did notice that.
That is quite aesthetically pleasing, actually.
Do I need to change this for every time? Do I need to change it for every time to match a T-shirt?
Yeah. What colours do you have?
I've got green. I've got black.
Okay, yeah.
I've got black. Mm-hmm. Hang on.
Oh?
And black. Yeah, and black. So if you can make those work, that'd be great.
No, I'm just wearing this T-shirt every episode from now on.
If you could.
Yeah. I'll make sure it's washed. Anyway, question one. I think this is like a question for the group, but George, since you're our guest, of course you get to go first. What band would you love to support? Like dream support, dream headliner for you to be the support band for?
You know the answer to that.
I do know the answer, but our listeners don't, so.
No, of course not. No, obviously it's... obviously being Metallica, but there are a few on that list, but I just think Metallica would be so funny. I just want to go and have dinner with Lars. I just feel like it'd be quite an interesting evening.
Interesting conversation. Well, I mean, that's half of it, isn't it? It's like, who do I like and who do I want to like...
Who do I desperately want to be friends with?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Who do I want to be friends with? Yeah, who can I suck up to?
Yeah. Like...
Yeah, are there any other... You mentioned there might be a few others on that list. Is there anyone else?
I always think Nickelback would be really funny.
That would. God, are you guys the same person?
I love Nickelback so much.
Me and George are the same person.
We are quite similar, aren't we, Chris? Yeah.
Yeah. Separated at birth.
Yeah, Nickelback would be good. Who else? I don't know, actually.
Have you got
definitely top two?
Have you got like a deep cut? So like we've talked about on the podcast, like my three favorite acts are Metallica, Nickelback, and Girls Aloud. And like I'm not kidding, I fucking love Girls Aloud, genuinely. Mm. Or Robbie Williams. They kind of flicker in and out. Like Robbie Williams would be a mint gig. But
that would be class, actually. Yeah.
Exactly. Like really have you got like a deep cut where it's like, you know, maybe like a pop artist or like something that you wouldn't expect someone who plays in your genre to have as like a dream support gig?
I've got some old school ones, but I don't think they'd be surprising.
You can go old school.
Yeah, you know, something like, you know what would be amazing? Like Spice Girls would be so good.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'd be good. It would make no sense, but it'd be incredible.
I think you'd make it work. I think you'd make it work.
Yeah, Spice Girls would be my shout, I think. Yeah.
It's like, oh, now I'm thinking about it. It's Spice Girls all the way, for sure.
I would love to open for the Spice Girls, but also I would love to be like in the backing band for like the Spice Girls.
I thought you were just going to say generally in the Spice Girls.
should we form the Spice Boys? Is that what we're going into?
Power over Spice, power over all. That's what I heard. Anyway, enough June references. Johnny, have you got a dream support act?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I'm in a Foo Fighters tribute band, and so I think it would be hilarious for us to support Foo Fighters. Like,
that would be amazing.
Imagine the mass confusion in the audience. Yeah, is it? Oh, like they're loving the songs, but it's just a little bit shitter, you know.
Someone must have happened. Someone must have done that. Well, there must be a story.
When I was in high school, one of my mates went to go see, I think it was the Arctic Monkeys. It was the Arctic Monkeys or the Killers. So we were like 15, 16. And no, it was Kings of Leon. It was Kings of Leon because the support act played a little bit of You Somebody by Kings of Leon. And they got booed off stage immediately. Like immediately. God. Like you're in like Manchester.
It's like
Arena.
An unwritten rule, right?
It's like a 20,000 capacity arena, and they started playing like the verse into the chorus to kind of like try and win the crowd over, and it just aggressively backfired. Like I wasn't there, but they got full on mega booed off, like the most boo.
Oof,
jeez,
ouch.
It's never good moments like that. Like it's not quite comparable, but I remember seeing at Reading, it was Panic at the Disco did Bohemian Rhapsody. And it was like this amazing, you know, obviously Brendan Urie has insane voice and like smashed it. And it was, you know, like you say, very bold, but it went down well and he did it well. And then Royal Blood came on after and also did it. Yeah. And not quite the same.
That's tricky. That's not a good, like if I was Royal Blood, I'd be like, take it out the set. They've beaten us 100%. To it. Like, just take, even if our version, let's say their version is better, like, you know, it's undeniable. I wouldn't do it. It's like, you know, you'd be
in defense though, like in those situations, how often do you really watch the band that's on before you at the festival?
Ooh.
I'm not even known.
Ooh. Yeah.
George,
that's no one. George, you're playing Slam Dunk soon. Like you can't say that.
Yeah, we're first on, it's fine.
Exactly. No one's going to watch you.
You're warming up at the back. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just going to be me with like a really expensive beard just screaming the words wig and kebab at you.
That's going to happen, isn't it?
It is. I am there, so you will see it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Mine, unfortunately, there's not an original bone in my body. Mine is Metallica all day, every day. Or I'd love to open for Nickelback again. Some sort of big pop act.
Did
Busted.
You just say I'd love to open for Nickelback again?
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. No. Again? Well,
after how well it went last time.
You don't know.
That was a dream.
I've been in bands. Wait, what do you mean dreams don't count?
In that case.
Not an original born in my body, I'm afraid, there.
Oh, hey-ho. That's absolutely fine. I'd also add, you know, obviously Carly Rae Jepsen has to have Get
Mentioned. Oh, yes.
You know, that's
I'm okay with that.
That's a no-brainer for me. No-brainer.
100%.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Whilst we're on the topic kind of Metallica, Chris, you wanted to talk a little bit, didn't you, about Metallica. This is your chance.
Well, you normally,
boys,
all right?
I'm giving you your section. Then it's back to boring business.
You normally shoot me down every episode. And in your defense, you don't consume Metallica's back catalogue as much as I do, if any at all. So, you know. George, I can't remember if I told you this. We're gonna do the top five Metallica albums.
Albums.
Yeah.
This is your controversy now, isn't it?
Yeah, because we said these to each other on tour, and someone from the other side of the room was like, "What?" He's not very happy at what we picked, if I remember correctly. But would you like to go 5-1, or just we'll do your favourite and move down?
It's probably easier to put it favourite to fifth, I think.
Yep,
because otherwise I'll get it wrong and then get annoyed.
Yeah, it's fair.
This is favourite and not what I actually think's the best, right? This is what I listen to the most. I want it on... Because that's the fairest gauge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Otherwise I just lie and go for the most popular one.
Yeah, because realistically everyone would then just go, no, it's Master of Puppets.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's not everyone.
Which would be fine.
Which would be fine, but it's your perception.
Okay, well, the one I listen to the most by an absolute landslide is Saint Anger, because it's just such a funny record. And when I say funny, it's not because I do genuinely enjoy it and love it to pieces, but I have to accept it has foibles. I really enjoy the record. I think there's so many bits about it that are just so endearing. It's also, I think it might be one of the first Metallica albums I owned, because I bought it because the artwork was really cool. And I think it's up there with the best artwork they've got. Second is either Puppets or Justice. But I'm probably gonna go for Justice because the song won. I just think it's insane.
Johnny might know that one.
Yeah.
Do you know that song. One, Johnny? That's a guitar hero song. One by Metallica, yeah? Familiar with that one?
Yeah.
You can make a brew if you want. Like, you know, we'll give us 10 minutes. We'll get this sorted. Turn your camera off. Brought one. Yeah, there we go. Cool. Okay, number three.
Yes, I'll go with Puppets 3.
Okay,
and then
this is where it gets tricky, because I think there are Metallica albums that are like, this one's amazing, I love this one. If this is number two, this is 100% number three. And then like the other like eight albums kind of go, ooh, but those five songs are good.
I've taken all emotion and logic out of it, and I'm doing it on what I know I've listened to the most.
Okay.
Because that's the real answer, isn't it?
So you go in...
if I didn't like it more, I would have. So I'm going to go
Black Album.
Yeah, Puppets 3, and now I'm going to go Black Album
Black
4.
Album. Black Album.
Ride the Lightning 5th.
Okay.
That's going to be my order on, yeah.
Very well.
And I think I can live with it. You know, as long as St. Anger's first, I don't really care, to be honest, but...
It's genuinely
shit about that.
The worst thing is, I know you, and I know you're not saying that for like a joke.
I'm not even lying.
I know you're not lying.
It's just a pure nostalgia taking over your body.
Like, honestly, yes. It's just I've got an emotional connection to it. I don't know what it is.
It's totally fair, and it is attached to the greatest film of all time.
Exactly. I think it's just a whole package, and yeah, it lives rent free in a CD player in my car.
Of course,
so I can listen to it whenever I want.
Ooh, he's got a CD player. Oh,
I know, mate. You need to get up in technology, mate.
I've got.
I used to have one
cable.
Of those cassette players.
No, you didn't.
That you put in. Yeah, yeah. And it's but it's got like a little jack.
Oh, the USB one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you can play Nox chord into a cassette player. Those were so cool.
Yeah, man. It was great. Mate. It's better than the shitty Bluetooth like parrot things you used to get.
They weren't bad at all, were they? Like, they did the job.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was great for my 1.2 1995 Corsa with 4 gears.
Four speed.
A real man's car.
That. Not many people know.
Matt,
if you're on the motorway going,
70. Wing mirrors falling off.
Yeah. The car is like bouncing off the floor. One of my mates' dads had the obviously this is like an old thing, but like I imagine it's pretty common when it was a thing. But the CD like loaders, you know, you'd load in like 10 CDs.
Yeah, they would like the back of the.
They'd be in like
the
dashboard somewhere. Oh. No, they'd be in the back of the car. Yeah, they'd be in the boot somewhere. And then it was like you'd just flick through. You'd have like 10 buttons, And that
like
would
a
be
jukebox.
CDs. Yeah, that would be like CD yeah. 1 to 10. Crazy. Wow.
That sounds like a Pimp My Ride mod right there.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
Yo, wait, dog. You said you like music.
Did you like CDs?
Dog, now you got a jukebox in the back. Kids, no more.
I love obsolete technology so much because like, someone put so much effort into that.
And then now it's been replaced by...
yeah.
Now yeah. you can just put your phone in a cubbyhole and it just connects everything yeah. automatically. Like, yeah. yeah. Mental.
Chris, give us your lowdown.
Yeah, I'll race mine really quickly. Similar to yours, George, but not quite. The Black Album, number one. Death Magnetic, number two.
Yes. Yeah, you said you like that one. It's not bad.
It's not bad. Justice for All, Master of Puppets, and then have I got one more?
Yeah.
I have got one more, haven't I? Right. No. S&M.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to rebut, but it's fair.
I mean, if you take live albums out, I'd probably have to put, like, Ride the Lightning in, maybe. Saint Anger would be number six, though. I do actually, like, unironically come back to that every now and again and go, these
are
some fat riffs.
Wicked.
Yeah, that's some fat riffs.
The riffs are great.
Yeah, then you yeah. can really feel like it's quite an emotional album, but it is really, really quite badly mixed.
Have you listened to the properly mixed versions?
No, and I never will. I don't want to.
Yeah, no, don't ruin it.
I do. Have ruined. You done? Have you done? And Justice for Jason? Have you listened to that?
Yes, of course I have. Yeah, absolutely.
That's mint. Johnny, do you understand the backstory behind that, or do I get to explain that to you?
Yes.
Okay, moving on. So,
please just don't know more.
There's no bass. There's no bass on the original version of Injustice.
Yeah,
for
that's why this is not the place to talk about it. You know.
Yeah, like, exactly. But on YouTube,
it's a banned topic.
Well, I mean, there's no bass on it. It's a bass podcast. But on YouTube, someone found the bass stems. I think they took it off Guitar Hero Metallica. Actually, I think they took the bass recordings that would be used for Guitar Hero Metallica and blended it in. And remixed, like remastered and remixed the album. And it is really cool. Like, there's some really actually quite good bass parts. The problem is just no one.
Yeah, I remember I looked at a tab once. I don't know why, but I looked at a tab. And
there was just nothing there on the tab.
Yeah, no, that was the weird thing. There was lots going on. I was like, never heard that.
Oh, it's a great joke. You see it on Instagram every now and again. You see a bass player going like, cover of One by Metallica, bass cover. And it'll just be them playing over like a muted track on purpose. It's an easy joke. I have thought about doing it a few times, but no.
I knew you were going to say that.
Doing it, like, yeah. Oh, just a couple. I've covered all of And Justice for All. It's just me going,
yes.
Not even like just slamming the strings
for
like,
40 yeah. minutes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, there we go, Johnny and George. Thank you very much for indulging me. That's all I've got for Metallica. Now we'll never talk about it again.
That's this week's Metallica Corner. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Shall we move on
to Metallica
our next
Corner?
Segment?
Yes, let's move on. Question two, George. Now, I would go as far to say you're a well-toured musician. You guys are on the road a lot, like a lot, I'd say, especially in the last year since Ultraviolet came out. Do you have a favourite story from a tour? It doesn't have to be like, say, like the tour we did at the start of the year or a different one. Do you have a particular story? Because I have one, and it's the day I met you. But I'll let you. You can choose that story, or
and
you can choose.
Life was changed forever.
Life was changed forever.
The or day you met me when you joined the tour halfway through to be our band, our tech, and
yes.
you ended up just becoming my bass tech.
Yes, and it was great. Yeah. No. I helped Jamie with his cymbals as well. Like. Because Adam was like, get off my stuff.
Yeah.
And John didn't care. But yeah, go on. If you have a different story, please do that one. If not...
No, I'll let you have that one because it's
okay.
a good one.
Okay.
I think story-wise, meeting Benji the first time at a festival in Czech Republic was hilarious because of how unhinged it was.
Mm.
For the audience, who's Benji?
For Johnny.
Oh, sorry, Benji from yeah. Skindred.
For Johnny, who's Benji?
Yeah. Yeah, Benji, Mr. Benji Webb. So we've been fans of theirs for a long time. Know of them. We happened to be playing a festival on the same day. And we'd gone to catering. And we...
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
But moseying on back to whatever tent or sort of place our backstage was. And he walked past us. None of us sort of said anything. And then Adam just sort of turned to him and complimented him on the jacket he wore at Download that year.
He was like, big, regal.
Yeah, he had it, it was like red and flames. It was amazing. And then, Adam was like, I know. And then Benji was like, oh, do you want to see what I was going to wear today? It's too hot, but I'll show you what I was going to wear today. And I was like, all right. So Adam follows him into his dressing room, and me and John were just like, well, we're going to come as well, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I'm not following right now.
We weren't. Not that we were invited, but like, I want to see this. So we go in, and he's showing us like this incredible like leather suit with like flames on it, like Year Six Disco like, special.
Hell yeah.
With flames on it. And then he... And then he starts showing us like his Gucci shoes that like sparkle in sun, and he's like, "Come outside with me." So we all follow him outside, and he's like holding them up in the sunlight, trying to show us how they like glint in the sun. And it was just quite a bit of a surreal thing, really.
I was going to say
it came full circle, but it didn't. It wasn't really full circle, but we saw him again
because I'm wearing it now.
Yeah, and now they're mine.
George,
shoes.
Like Mission Impossible, pulls a mask off. Yeah. It's Benji from Skin.
It's strange that the second time we met him was in such different circumstances, because we were playing it's like an old day festival thing that he was DJing at Corby. You ever been to Corby?
Nope.
Also,
heard
sounds,
of Corby?
Nope, never heard of it. Welsh. It does also sound a bit Welsh.
I think it's like Northampton.
Oh, it's nothing to me.
It was a short drive from my house. Anyway, it was a show that happened. And he was sort of backstage getting ready for the DJ set. And when he went on, his DJ set was just sitting on a stage with a laptop and just playing songs on iTunes. And he just kept playing Killing in the Name of over and over again. Like the first like 5 seconds would play.
Oh, is that where...
That's where it came from.
Is that where that came from?
Yeah, and he just started again. He just kept starting the song over and over and over.
To get like the origin stories for like these ridiculous in-jokes that like just go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Like on tour, these guys would just play the first... You know, it's just the drum part, isn't it? The bam!
Yeah, yeah.
Boom! Bam! They'd do that. And then before it got to the bum, 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 they just...
Oh, I might give you a couple of them.
Restart the song.
Yeah.
like nine times. Minimum.
Let's go again.
Yeah. I like to think that it was those times we shared together that the reason why they asked us to play those shows with them. I have no idea if that's the reason, but I like to think it's because it all started from Adam complimenting his jacket.
Yeah, they're like, these guys have got fashion taste, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to put it down to our networking abilities. Yeah.
I think it's that, because I think when you have the option to pick things, and it doesn't just have to be like support slots, you know, it can be like, you know, I'll be playing on a gig and someone will say to me, oh, the drummer I did have booked for this isn't free anymore. Can you think of anyone? The first bit that pops into my head is, who do I get along with? I'm not going like, who's the best drummer I know? I'm going for like, who do I get along with the most? And is obviously a more than competent enough drummer. So I also like to think like those moments you've shared with those people, like, you know, you can call it networking or you can just say like getting along with people just casually. I think they come back round to benefit you very much so.
Networking is like, it's almost like 30% of your job, you know, in originals.
There's a nuance to it though, for sure.
There is a nuance to it. Yeah. And there's, and annoyingly though, nobody tells you how to do it. You either get lucky and you're okay at it, or you have a few horrible experiences where you just like, you know, you show your ass in front of someone and you go, oh, I can't ever do that again. Like, oh no.
Yeah, there's also what works with one group of people won't work with another group of people. Yes. Like it's just so much. It's just weird.
Yeah, you can't just jam yourself in a situation and be like, hi, by the way, I'm me. This is me. Like,
yeah, timing is everything.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so weird. It's so weird as well, because you would think, like, people in our line of work would love to hear someone compliment something that you've put in hours of your life, like
always compliment their most recent album. Exactly. Don't tell them their debut album's incredible. It's a waste of time.
Yeah. Don't go, like, don't talk to me about early stuff. Like, no. We're not playing it anymore. You need to talk about the thing that has just been ruining our lives for the last year. But what I mean is, it's like people go into that and they go, oh, well, we'll open it up with saying, like, oh, I love your new album, blah, 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 or like you're blah, 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 you're my favorite band or whatever. And you would think people want to hear that. But in a lot of those situations, people don't want to be on the receiving end of that, because it's like, it's almost like it comes across too try hard, even though it is genuine. It may be genuine to the person.
Yeah, and it normally is genuine when someone actually goes to the time of saying that in those situations, I think, as well. But it can come across a bit fanny, I guess. Like,
a bit what?
Which isn't what you want to do in that situation. Like, you want to come across as like a peer or a colleague complimenting someone else's work. Like, you can't run up to them and go, I thought the third single of your second album was amazing, and in the second bar of the bridge, it's like, you'll just ruin it for you. And then it reminds me of
Daniel Radcliffe being interviewed, and he said that when he gets like recognized sometimes, normally it's like the girlfriend is like, oh my god, and then the partners, they're like, all right, like, all right, saw the films, they're okay, kind of thing, like, at him, and it's like, yeah, just be nice, even if it's for
a person,
just be nice,
that kind of thing,
exactly. But yeah, I mean, that's talking about networking, that brings me into not one of my favorite tour stories, but like a tour regret I have. When I was in Originals, we played, what bloody festival was it? Takedown Festival, that's it.
Oh, is that in Portsmouth?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Back because it came back and then it's been pushed back again, I think, or something. And before it went away, we played that. And Charlie Simpson was one of the headliners. And I was like, right, I'm going to go off networking. And the rest of the band were pissing about, not doing their job, but being flipping professionals. I'm like, right, I'm going to go network. I'm going to meet some people, make some connections. And they just stumbled backstage. And our manager was like, oh yeah, come through this way. They all got backstage and then just end up bumping into Charlie Simpson and talking to him for like 20 minutes. And I was like, you know, I busted with my first favorite band. And I'm like, god damn it. I was here being a good boy.
Trying to play the game, and you missed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the trick, though. You can't force it, can you, Johnny? You can't force it. You have to let it happen. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was not a good one. But yeah, any more stories, Chris? Can you give us yours, please?
The very day I met George, we had to both sleep in a van outside of a Holiday Inn, in a Premier Inn in Hull, and it was George is having a nervous breakdown as we speak. Like, basically, there were too many people like per room, so there were too many people per room, so the staff.
There'd been a logistics incident.
So yeah, they put the bass players outside.
So they kicked some of us out, and we volunteered to stay in the van, to be fair. And
volunteered.
Yeah, let's just say my first few hours of the lovely George was the only time in 3 years he's been in a bad mood.
I'd argue I've had like two big diva moments ever.
Yeah.
And that was one of them.
But it was quite justified, because it was like me, you, and Adam, the guitarist from As Everything Unfolds, were sat in this van drinking Strongbow Dark Fruits at 3 o'clock in the morning with everyone's coats on, because it was don't get me wrong, as a boy, I'm good with the cold. That was really cold, like really cold. And George would just be like, we'd just go on this rant about his bullshit, and then he'd pause and go, I'm really sorry, Chris, I'm not normally like this.
I was doing that, yeah.
You're like, I'm really sorry, mate. I'm really sorry. Like, I'm normally like a very happy chappy, but I'm just really annoyed at. And then he left the end.
I had to keep checking myself, being like, this guy's just met me. This is the first impression.
I joined halfway through the tour, and that was quite a. It wasn't a rough tour, but it was like kind of like. you know, support slot. Were you guys main?
It was Trash Boat.
Yeah, were you main support or first on?
We were, yeah. We were the only support band on the tour, and then sometimes they had openers, but not every time.
No. But it was one of those where it's like, there's not really the budget to be kind of like decent hotels, everyone gets a bed. You know, there's room for food, you know, all those kind of very much like you know, we were on people's floors a few times, you know, we were on like, you know, sometimes it was a hotel, but we had to kind of like sort of, you don't realise till you go on tour, but you kind of have to like prioritise who gets the bed. And it's usually like, well, who's doing the driving? And singers.
Who's doing the singing?
Yeah, because it's like the singer has a rough night's sleep and it's like, oh no, like now we're in trouble. Whereas us Neanderthal bass players can be like, I've sat upright on fire in a freezing cold room for 6 hours. Yeah, I'll play a gig.
Freezing cold room like, and on fire. That's a solution, you know.
Do you remember when in Bournemouth when Adam got through that show with food poisoning?
Oh, I don't know how he did that.
It was like he had to like sit down like between songs and stuff. I genuinely don't know how he did it.
He was asleep like all day in the green room until like 5 minutes before he went on stage. He just got up and went, oh, right, okay. And then did the show and then immediately walked
and then played really well. Yeah. And then just got off stage and went back to sleep.
And immediately
but
went
this back, guy's immediately. Not moving, but he's so sweaty. Oh.
Like, why is he crying? I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, especially because you could have put guitar on track for that show. Like, do you have a backup? Do you have a logistical backup for that? Like, if Adam's holding
not for him,
there, not for Adam, right? Okay.
Not for him,
right? Because you have one for you, don't you?
We have one for me. There's been a couple of shows where I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
But no, not for Adam. I don't think.
Mm. I've played with wedding bands where they have everything as a backup on track, like everything, even lead vocals. If the singer's like completely lost his voice, it's like, well, you can. He's learnt the set from a miming standpoint, so it's like, it's really clever, and they use an Ableton to kind of like mute and unmute his mic. So like, when the sections for talking and crowd interaction, the mic goes live and he can still do it, and then it cuts back in time for the verse, and he can mime it because he's ran it hundreds of times.
It's terrifying, live, but amazing singing, and then all right, everyone, I've got a bit of a sore throat.
Yeah,
amazing,
lovely.
Well, absolutely lovely. Another story I had for one of my favorite moments from tour. So my Lily's name for me and my phone, my partner, is Johnny Pushu, and that is because that is the nickname I gained on the last tour I did. Because
I wonder how.
Exactly. Well, we turned up at the venue, and it was a weird venue where the green room was upstairs. Stop spoiling my story, Chris. It was like a balcony that looked down on the stage. It went around the whole room. It's very strange.
It's actually quite cool.
It was
what
very
venue
nice.
Was this?
Yeah.
Do you know what venue it was? Do you remember?
It was some pub. Big, cool, good pub, though. Like, they did lots of music events. Had a stage and everything. But you could stand up there and look down. It was great. But then the owner came up and said, just be careful around here because I sometimes let the dog up. And as he said that, he paused and looked down at my shoe and was like, oh, I'm so sorry, mate. And I was like, what? Look down. And I was literally stood at the biggest dog shit. It's like a cow pat, for God's sake. It's like a ring around my shoe. I was like, oh, God. And then like the whole touring party is then ripping into me. And there's another level above. We go above, look down. It's like a minefield of dog shit. Like, you can see where the dog's been in this venue. Inside the venue.
That's disgusting. To be fair,
that's an odd deal.
That's funny for 5 seconds. Then it's like, I am leaving now. Like, I'm going home.
Well, I'm bringing it back round to the bass playing because then I was using lots of effects on my pedals. And of course, I got shit mashed into my shoe.
No.
I was wearing Vans. So you can imagine the crisscross of just dog shit mashed in.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
That dark glass pedal was never the same.
Seen things no dark glass pedal should see. No.
Buckle ass, I called it after that.
No, that's horrible. Like, that's just gross, man.
And that's my favourite story.
I mean, it's a good story. It's a good story. So, I will absolutely concede that point, but like, that's just minging.
Yeah. Well, speaking of good stories, shall we move on to the next question?
We should. It's a nice and easy one, this, George. What's it like playing bass at Wembley Arena? Quiet one tonight.
Yeah. It's just the same as local pub, isn't it?
Would be funny if that was actually true.
It's just to imagine what the best version of what you do is, and it's that.
I mean,
it's just you can't. It's just there is. You can absolutely do better, but like you got to think about the fact you're probably not going to, and so you got to enjoy every single second of it, and it is just unbelievable. And I was very much the whole time sort of trying to get into my head. Like, be present, because so many times I haven't been where I'm just going through the motions, not thinking about it, not actually enjoying it as much as I should be.
I was actually going to ask about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask about that because, like, it's very easy to leave the moment when you're on stage for literally anything, like anything. So did you find it difficult to kind of, like, force yourself to be present and also, like, define, like, present? Was it you kind of going, I need to be present to make sure that I do the best job I can. This is a big opportunity for us. Or is it kind of like I need to make sure I'm enjoying this? Because, like, I might, you know, how long was your set? Like, half an hour?
Half an hour, yeah.
So it's like, this is half an hour I might never, ever do again. I need to make sure I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, it was that one. I mean, yeah. Luckily for me, we've played together a long time. We've played the set a million times. The muscle memory is there. You know, I am normally thinking about what I'm doing, but I was very much concentrating on focus on the overall moment of what it is, and the fun you're having, and concentrate on those people rather than your fretboard.
Yeah.
Like, I can see that anytime, you know,
you don't want to be that guy just like,
yeah,
hiding at the back, you know, at Wembley.
And I could tell that I thought about it because it was, I mean, it's not surprising at all, but it was by miles like the most nervous I've been ever. Mm. I kind of got over being nervous now, but I wasn't then. Like, my hand was like a mess. But I was thinking that's probably a good thing. It's because I'm understanding the gravity of how cool this is.
Yes, it was.
And what a really amazing thing I'm getting to do right now. So, yeah, I think that's definitely the positive. I also think it's great that we don't drink before we play now. So so it's a bit like, oh, actually, I'm here. This is wicked. Like,
incredible. And that was with Skin Dread, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And POD. There we go. And
POD. All because, you know, complimented his jacket.
Yeah, that's always compliment a man's jacket. We're going to assume that's what it is. So, you know, the message here is always compliment someone's jacket.
I mean, how was that moment when you first walked into the venue and you're looking around, you know, and you always see it on bands like documentaries when they're playing Wembley, they go in, they're like, oh my God. How was that moment? And B, when you first walked out on stage or when you first saw the crowd from the stage, describe those moments for me.
Walking in, it was very much like, which you do with every place you go to. It looks so much bigger when there's no one in it. And that was very sort of overwhelming sort of situation to get a sort of grasp over. But then after we got everything in, I just very much got out of there and didn't want to look at it anymore. so I was just going to retreat away and do all my stuff. The walk on was fine because I kind of didn't engage at first. It was the first note that was the best bit. It was the drop into the first song. That was like the hairs on your arms moment.
What did you open with?
Slow Down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. I can see that feeling quite well. And how was the response from the crowd? Because sometimes you can do these, like, I've done shows as a support actor. I've gone, this venue is amazing. It's sold out. No one's interested because it's like they're not here to see me.
The life of a support band.
Yeah, I had a lot of conversations with you being like, George, why did no one care?
I'm very numb to that now, Chris.
I know. Yeah. I was like, I'm really trying.
What I was trying to say is, what you got to remember, Chris, is just because they don't look like they're having a good time,
yeah, yes,
doesn't mean they're not.
Yes.
And it, because how I'm the guy standing at the back with my arms crossed with a pint,
and so am I, to be fair. Like,
but I'm still liking it. I'm still enjoying it. I'm still thinking, oh, that's they're good or they're not good. Mm.
Was it a good response?
I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, I think so. I think so. There were enough people there.
Okay.
Engaged enough for me to be happy.
But very well. That'll do. You can't say you can't say fairer than that. Oh, Johnny, have we lost you? Oh, I've had a text. Bear with. No.
Emergency text.
Well, you may have noticed we're missing someone, George. For those of you not in the know, Johnny has had a power cut at his house. A power cut in the Western world. And now we're going to have to bring it in without him, unfortunately. Darren, I wonder if he's fallen victim of, do you remember when they said they were going to like do like rolling power cuts to like keep people's energy bills down? Maybe Bristol's the first one to experience that.
Maybe it is, or maybe we just upset him.
I mean, it is understandable. Like, you know, there's only so much a man can take of me before he has to leave.
I thought you were going to say too much Metallica. And then that was going to be the problem.
That was definitely too much Metallica for that man. Like, absolutely. well, George, we've answered the main questions we wanted to cover. So we're going to move into our, like, little final bit just to wrap everything up. This is our quick fire questions round. Now, normally me and Johnny take turns on this, but instead, it's just going to have to be me. Now, the only rule for this is you aren't allowed to elaborate on any of your answers. I'm going to give you this or that, and you've just got to tell me, and I'm not. When we get to the last one...
I've just got to die on the hill.
You've just got to die... We've just got to die on the hill. Like, I had to do that, and really, I paid the price by saying, like, I wanted to explain, for example, I love IEMs, but a wedge is great, but I wasn't allowed. I had to, like, be like, no, you made your choice. Nope. So... Yeah, now you're struggling, aren't you?
I'm quite concerned now, yeah.
You should be. If there's any bits that you're... I mean, let's be honest, the entire podcast...
Oh, Chris, come on, be a man. Oh. Just call me out.
Come on.
Don't let me get away with it. Don't go easy on me.
Just let me do what I want, okay? It's my podcast.
You're in charge.
I am, for the first time.
You have the power in this dynamic, Chris.
Assistant regional manager. Assistant to the regional manager. Right. George Hunt. Question one, pick or fingers?
Pick.
Very well. Would it be strange if you'd said the other one?
You lost your mind.
Imagine being like, I'm actually quite a traditional thumb fingerstyle player. Like, okay. Number two, active or passive?
Passive.
Number three, rounds or flats?
Rounds.
Number four, four string. Or five string. Interesting four. One for you. Four, very well.
Yeah, because I use both.
Because I use both on stage. So interesting. I am also, despite you know, when we toured together, I was playing a five string. I'm a four guy too. Number five, IEMs or wedges?
IEMs.
Number six, and again a tricky one for you, P or J?
That's basically the same question.
Well, it's not. P bass or jazz bass?
But what if you play a PJ?
Well, it doesn't count. You've got to pick one.
But that's a type.
It's not. If for this question,
I'm going to go. It would have been J, but it's P now.
Yeah, it's P for me too. It would have been J for me for a long time.
Yeah, I've changed my mind.
Number seven. What is your desert island bass?
Is it boring for me to say the same one as before?
No.
Even though if it was Desert Island, I'd kind of want something that... It might be a Fender P-Bass.
Okay.
Because...
Nope.
You're not choosing... Yeah,
nope.
I can't elaborate.
No, you can't elaborate. Nope, you made your decision.
Okay, that's what I'm going with.
Thank you very much. Number eight. What's the best bass effect?
Overdrive.
That's totally fair. Number nine, give me an unpopular bass opinion. I'll give you an example. If you struggle for an example,
I've got a thought, but go on. Give me your example.
When we first did this, Johnny said octave pedals are overrated. He's kind of right.
Okay. It might just be an unpopular opinion.
Go on.
In general, I have no love at all for Ibanez. I just think
in general, or
yeah, in general, it's not a bit of me, but bass really. Yeah, I mean that's sort of my only experience, but not an Ibanez guy.
Yeah, I can't say I feel pretty similar there.
I know a lot of people wouldn't like that though, but
well, stuff them. And then finally, number 10.
Play a proper bass.
Grow up. Number 10, and you are allowed to elaborate on this one. What right. Star Wars character would be the best at bass?
Now I've got to think of traditional stereotype bass player traits.
You too.
Or I could just randomly throw it at the wall. But who would be good at bass? I mean, Chewie would have the hands for it, wouldn't he?
Okay. We do get Chewbacca quite a bit.
Yeah.
Someone said Han Solo, but Han Solo.
I feel like
Han Solo's a guitar player.
No, he's a lead guitar player, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like Jabba the Hutt would have like a kind of old school, like big jazz bass guy, like 5-string, playing jazz bass in the corner of the club kind of vibe.
Oh yeah, and he absolutely rips like walking bass lines.
Yeah, can you imagine it? I can. I'm going to go with him. I can picture it. I can picture him with a massive bass right up here, you know, like when it's right under your
all
nose.
All the way over, like it's above the beer belly. Yeah. It's like leaning back
and it's
into
just,
it.
And it's silk. It's just absolute silk. That's the one.
Buttery. A buttery biscuit bass.
Yeah.
All right, well, I said Jango Fett. But I'm actually not going to. I'm not going to elaborate for that one. I went with Jango Fett and Johnny.
I had to elaborate, but you didn't.
It's my episode, mate. Sorry. Well, it's your episode. It's my podcast. Okay. I went with Jango Fett because I thought Jango Fett is like, he's a great bass player in terms of like, he's been provided with like a brief, and he hit the brief. It's like, we need you to supply your DNA for a clone army. I think we can argue he nailed that. Like, he absolutely nailed that.
Yeah.
But then,
yeah, fair enough.
Like any bass player, he overstepped the mark and got his head cut off.
I see, he got too big for his boots.
Exactly. Started like stepping on the guitarist's toes, trying to get the drummer to tune his snare differently. You can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. Telling the keyboard player to stay away from those bottom keys. Ooh. Bad move. Well, George, thank you very much for coming on. It's been lovely to have you. Your album, Ultraviolet, is 1 year old today at the time of recording?
Yesterday, but we forgot, so we say it's today.
Of course
it is. We'll say it's today. We'll say it's today.
We'll say it's today. I mean, this episode isn't coming out today, so all well. Take this last opportunity to plug yourself. What have you guys got going on at the moment? What are you excited for? Tell us about you and where we can find you.
Absolutely. So our latest album is Ultraviolet. You can listen to that pretty much everywhere, I believe. We've got some festivals coming up in the summer. UK wise, probably most relevant, isn't it? Which is Slam Dunk.
I think
that's all we've got in the UK. We will be having some news in the next few months regarding the end of the year, which will include some UK shows, but I can't elaborate further yet. Ooh. But do keep an eye out.
Big things coming soon.
Big things coming soon.
Well,
soon.
Well, for those of you who stayed around to the end and decided not to leave the second Johnny left the call, thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to check us out, we are In The Pocket Pod on Instagram. You can find Johnny at Johnny Dibble Bass everywhere on Instagram and on YouTube. And you can find me everywhere, nice and easy, That Guy on Bass. George, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a longish time coming, but I'm glad we got it sorted in the end. It's been well worth it. You've been a lovely guest as always. And for those of you listening / watching, thank you so much. And we will see you in the next episode. Ta-ta.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.